Willkommen zum E-Com Secrets Podcast. Hier erfährst du, wie du mit deinem Online-Shop endlich deine Umsatzziele erreichst, ohne dabei abhängig zu sein von Amazon oder Online-Marketing-Agenturen. Wir zeigen dir, wie du deinen aktuellen Status quo durchbrichst und dabei nicht nur nachhaltig, sondern auch direkt in die Skalierung kommst. Und hier ist dein Host, Daniel Bittmann.
Wie du in 3 Schritten ein Remote-Team aufbaust. Herzlich willkommen zu dieser neuen Podcast-Episode. Und dieses Mal ist es eine ganz besondere Episode, denn ich habe wieder einen Interviewgast hier am Start. Und zwar meine liebe Freundin. Und da wir ganz viel zu Hause Englisch sprechen, wird diese ganze Podcast-Episode auf Englisch stattfinden. Und ja, that's why I switched to English now. So, welcome Kaylee. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
So it's actually not your first time in a podcast. You always give like a webinar or you come to a podcast or a presentation. So can you talk a little bit about this?
Sure. So as you said, I've been on podcasts on HR and helping people going more remote, managing people remotely. I was at a conference, a remote conference as well, and I've been here and there publishing a couple of articles around remote leadership, managing remote teams, etc.
Amazing. So before we jump into this amazing content today, so we will talk about how to make or how to build company values, how to hire the right people, how to have a proper onboarding process and so on. But before we do all that, first, we want to know about your story, Kaylee.
Okay, yeah. So I can start with I was in Ireland doing a sales job. I was not good at it. I didn't like it. And my contract ended and I needed to find something new. And kind of like through people who know people who know people, I ended up getting a job opportunity in Dubai for a startup and it was in HR. So it was the first time I even considered taking a job in HR. I thought, okay, let's just try it. I was there for a little while and there I dove into the recruitment part of HR. And after that, I moved to Germany where I joined a remote first startup. That startup, I grew from 15 people to 50 people. And those 50 people were distributed over around 15 different countries.
This is amazing. And I was super happy about this episode, actually, because you may or may not know, we were able to scale our company or to grow our team to 16 people within only 6 months. And Kaylee was a very big part of it, helping us finding the right people, how to give proper feedback and so on. And yeah, in this episode, she's gonna share some knowledge and helping you to make the same with your team and your company. So Kaylee, we will break it down to 3 steps. And the first step is actually like company values. Like what is this, how to build this, and why do I need this?
So actually before I hop into the values, maybe something like an overarching theme for me is expectation management. So whatever you do, communicate your expectations, make sure that you know what your expectations are and that the people that you are working with, talking with, know your expectations as well. And that this is one of the main reasons why values are so important to me. For me, if you think about building your team, managing your team, getting a high performance team, values is something that's kind of the foundation of this. Why? Because values tell you how you expect your team to go about their day, how to make decisions, how they kind of live your culture, right? And so values could be just like simple words like ownership or transparency or a short phrase like keep it simple. And so, yeah, these are like the guiding star for you and your team throughout the workday.
So that also means that when there needs to be a decision, like making a decision, you also align the decision on your values, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so Kaylee, maybe you can talk a little bit about, so the topic is like how to build a remote team. what values would be, yeah, what do you think is are important to make a successful, productive team and right now remotely? So maybe you could give some examples.
Sure. So for me, for a remote team, a couple of values that are very important are ownership and trust. So when you have a team that is not all in one location, it's a lot harder to micromanage or to like see what the people are working on. So you want to establish trust from the very start, basically, and you want to give people as much ownership as they can. So that means decision-making power. Ownership in that sense also means, for example, that people, it doesn't mean that you, as a person who has ownership over something, that you do everything, right? So ownership means that you are responsible for the topic and for if it is a task, for example, that it gets done. So that also means asking for help. Whether there's like something that you don't know how to do or you're short in like time, basically you speak out about things. And this creates a mutual trust as well. Another value that is very important to me in a remote team is transparency. In a remote team, it's very important that people know what is being worked on, what is the goal that we're working towards, what decisions are being made so that they're in the loop. This is like the management takes a decision and they share like what that decision is, what the context around that decision is, why is that decision being made, but also on a lower level, decisions that are made on a lower level so that everybody kind of knows what's going on. The way I think about it is you can hire the best people out there, right? With amazing skills who have done amazing at other companies. But if you need to give them something to care about, basically. And this is what you do with being transparent about things by giving them ownership and yeah.
I want to jump into quickly. So the first topic you mentioned was ownership. And I see like myself, I'm working with a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners. And I often see them making a huge mistake. And the huge mistake I'm talking about is micromanaging. And what I really like, what you just said with giving people like power to make decisions, it really give you more freedom because you don't want to be the CEO of a company and like 50 people run to you and say, hey, oh, can I do this? Can I have your approval? And so on. So, because then you're always the bottleneck. I really like the idea to give them the power and to motivate them. So what really helps us and the team is that we really empower them to take decisions. And we also say, yeah, make mistakes, because out of mistakes you learn and we are not angry when you make mistakes. And this is a great thing I discovered through your help, actually.
Thank you. For anybody who's listening, who's having trouble with this, like kind of giving that decision-making power to people, a good book to read about this is Turn the Ship Around. Yeah, I can definitely recommend that one.
Amazing. So do you have other values in mind? What would be useful to make a remote team?
To me, diversity and inclusion is another really important one. I could do another whole podcast on this, basically. But kind of making sure that your team is not made out of all of the same people, right? You want people who are different from each other, who have a different background, who have different experiences to be together in the team because they will bring different ideas. And then for me, inclusion is about making sure that all of those people with those different backgrounds and experiences feel welcome, right? So that they feel welcome, they feel safe, so that they actually will share those ideas that they have. And this has been proven to help companies be more innovative, be more productive.
And to be honest, so in our team, this is still in progress. We are still working on it because out of those 16 people, only 2 are women and the rest is white men. So we are in the progress, I would say, but not there yet. So a lot of room to improve here.
Mm-hmm. I think One more thing that I would add is something around pragmatism, keeping it simple. I think especially if you're, I was going to say if you're working in HR, people and culture, but I guess it applies to a lot of different positions in a company really is, it's very easy to set up new processes and to complicate things. I think it's a lot harder to keep things simple. So yeah, I think that's another important one. Like don't make things more bureaucratic than they need to be. Keep it to the minimum basically, and then build from that where you need to.
Okay, so we talked a lot about company values and the why and so on. So this is the first step you should master or to build. Then we move to the next step. We talk about finding the right people, hiring. So especially in remote. So how I'm going to do this? How do I find the right people?
Sure. So it kind of depends. This is like a typical HR thing, right? It depends. But it kind of depends on the company and the position that you're hiring for. Like finding an engineer is going to be more successful in one way than like how you would approach finding a new marketing manager or something like that. But in general, it's again about managing expectations. So before you post a job ad or a job description somewhere, like internally in the company, you want to make sure that you know exactly what you're hiring for. What are you expecting from this person who will join the team? How will they know they're being successful? What are the requirements for the positions exactly? And not like all the nice to haves. So when I'm writing a job description, I really try to keep it simple and keep it short and really stick to what is actually necessary for the job and not like, oh, if you also have this and that would be nice and maybe also have this, that would be nice, and be as transparent as possible. So also if you can add a salary budget or a pay budget to your job description, I think that's ideal as well. And then you're going to post it. And really, it depends, again, like on the role where you can best post it. A platform that I have used a lot in my past or when I'm recruiting is weworkremotely.com. Obviously, there's a lot of people on there who are looking for remote jobs. It's different types of remote jobs, engineering positions, marketing positions, HR positions, finance positions, a bunch of different types of jobs. There's a lot of people on there as well. So I've always or usually have quite a bit of success on there. Then LinkedIn is another option. And then what we just tried with you, Daniel, is through Instagram ads. So kind of going through a form. Yeah.
Yeah, I can share a little bit of insights here. So as you may know, in the last podcast episode, I was looking for new people and we are hiring performance marketing managers right now. So what I previously did always was I posted on my Instagram story, and this may be a little nice tip for you. If you already have your e-commerce brand and I don't know, like 5,000 followers, 10, 50, 100,000, just use your story, because the people follow you, the people always like, they already like you, and there may be some people looking for a job and would love to work with you. So what we recently tried, and it was super successful, was running actually ads. I mean, this is what we do every day. So we just run ads to find, to attract people. And we were using a form so they can fill it out with some filter questions and stuff. And we got like 50 applications. And this is an amazing vehicle to find those people.
Actually, quick question for you, Daniel. So when you were advertising your open position on Instagram and or like in your Insta story and also on LinkedIn, the candidate pool was quite not diverse, right? So now that you're trying it this way, is the people who are applying, is it like a more diverse group?
100%. So I only saw the names, because next week we do the interviews, but from the names, it's totally different. So we also have women, we have, I don't know, like other names than German names. And yeah, and the thing is, they don't saw me because it was an ad and there was no picture of me or something. So it's not law of attraction and they come to me because they are similar to me or whatever. So yeah, I'm super curious. Next week is the interviews or other interviews. And yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. Very happy to hear that. So that kind of segues us into the point past finding candidates in hiring. And that is the interviews or like screening applicants, right? And again, like it's so important that you know here what you are exactly looking for. So that way you go into the interview, you know what you're going to ask, right? So depending on like when you have your requirements together, that's how you're going to know what kind of questions you can ask. And then it's always good to ask about an experience that they had and how did they handle this. We talked about an example a couple days ago. So an example question for somebody who's going to be doing marketing campaigns on Facebook is, tell me about a time where you were running a campaign and the results weren't as expected. So how did you deal with it? What did you do to kind of improve the campaign? What did you learn from it? Were you able to turn it into a positive or not? That those types of questions where it's not yes or no, it's not super hypothetical, but you're actually asking them like what happened in their past, how did they deal with it, would they do it differently now knowing what happened before, so that you also get to know a little bit about how much reflection do they do, right? Which is super important when it comes to learning. Another question that I like to ask is, what motivates somebody? Like what type of environment do they thrive in? That does not only tell you more about the person and obviously what motivates them, but it also tells you more about, can you actually provide that environment? Like, if you hire this person, will you be able to make them happy? If you're building a remote team and they say that like what really motivates them is being able to turn around and like chat to their colleague next to them, then it's not going to be the right team for them.
All right. So now you found the right people and you hired them. So now we come to the third step. And now we are going to share like, how should be the onboarding process, and how do we actually work with those people? Like, we will talk about performance management and so on. So Kaylee, someone said yes, he wants to work in our company. Amazing. What now?
Sure. So what's really important to know is that onboarding starts before their first day at the team, right? So it starts, you have signed the offer and then you have to again do expectation management. So what can they expect going forward? Will you reach out to them? Do you have some documents that they need to sign or fill out or whatever? And then again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but expectation management, to figure out internally before this person starts, what are we expecting from them in their first day, in their first week, in their first couple of months? What do we need to provide them so that they can live up to those expectations when they have their first day? Especially in a remote environment, you want them to meet people, right? So either set up meetings for them or give them like a list of people that you want them to reach out to and just like chat with, get to know them, know what they do at the company. Any type of information that they need to get started, whether it is the company values or how certain things are done within a certain department, anything like that, it's good to have that information in one place so that they, again, like they know what's expected from them. So this also is about how do you communicate with each other? Is that on Slack or do you use email or do you use, I don't know, another type of tool to communicate, Teams or whatever? Then they've started, they have all of this information, they know what's expected. Then it's very important to keep checking in with them basically. So What I like to do is at the end of the week, check in with them. How are things going? Do you have any obstacles that you're running against that you haven't been able to figure out yet, that you haven't asked anybody about yet? Are things going good? Like, what is going well? What did you appreciate about this week? And then what I usually do is also at 1 and 2 months after the start date, I will check in with them again, like, what is going well? What is not going well? How's the remote thing working out for you if it's your first time working remotely? If we've set goals for them to reach within this period, how are those goals looking? Did you achieve them? Did you not? Why? Why not? What did you do to get there? Yeah, kind of like be on top of what's happening, basically. And then what I would also recommend is after 3 months and after 6 months, have kind of like a more in-depth conversation or like feedback session around how things are going. This can be based on specific expectations of the roles. This can be based on how they are living the company values. There's a lot of different ways to set this up. What I like to do is 360 feedback rounds, but this might be going a little bit too deep right now.
So when you have a remote team like we have, then you won't have a lot of things you would have in an office. So for example, there won't be like a 10-minute talk in the kitchen when you grab a coffee or something like this. So to give you a little bit of insight how we are working, we have Slack as our center of communication. So we have different Slack channels for different topics, I don't know, like team, media buying, creatives, like different topics. And you also would need to have meetings. So for us, we try to make not so many meetings because we always have meetings with clients and everything. So how we set it up is Monday is like our team day. So we have different team calls on Monday for the different departments, but also one team call for all the team members. And we set it up with like a structure of, okay, what was new the last week? Do we have new people? Something changed, whatever. And then we let everyone talk about their challenges. So we like it's there's a reason why we don't say problem, we say challenge. And on the other hand, they should share their wins. So their challenges and their wins. So everyone knows, okay, how is this person? What did the person the last 7 days and so on?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to promote transparency, right? So you're all being kind of very open about what are you working on, what has been not so easy the last week. People can help each other out as well. So if somebody starts helping the other one out, whether it's in the call or where they say like, hey, let me call you after this meeting or later today, whatever. I have a couple of ideas at my work. Like, you're creating this team bond. I think it's also very important for remote teams to know that creating that bond is so important, right? There's a lot of different ways to do it. A team call like this is one way. You can also promote people, just like making sure that they catch up with each other in between other tasks. I think for me, connecting with other people and making other people connect in my team with each other who are not working with each other on a daily basis has been super important as well. That like deliberate effort to connect with each other, because it's going to help you further down the line for sure. You're building your relations. It's going to be easier to collaborate with each other later on. You also mentioned communication. So one of the major things that I have noticed that's very important when you're working remotely versus working in office is that it's so much more important to think about what you're actually trying to say. So very often you're going to be Slack messaging somebody. So written communication, it loses a lot of its kind of like nuances, right? And also when we're writing each other, the other person might not be responding immediately. So you don't always have this back and forth between people where you can like keep pulling the information that you need from the other person to get the job done, basically. but you have to think about pushing information to the other person. So if I have a request for somebody else, they need to do something, it's my job to try and make sure that they have all the information that they need to be able to do that. There might be some back and forth still, right? You cannot anticipate every question, but you're minimizing that back and forth, which means that it will be done sooner, especially if I'm asking something that Daniel will do for me, and he's in a meeting for like 2-3 hours, then he has time to respond back to me. I'm in a meeting then, so it takes me like another 1-2 hours to respond back. So the fewer back and forward, the better, really.
Yeah, and I also want to mention some things I've learned from you, Kaylee. When you write something, like, people could misunderstand it because it's like a written word. And I realized it in a team call I had last week, where someone of our team asked me, hey, how did you mean that? Were you be angry or something? And I totally didn't mean it in an angry way. I just was like, it was between meetings and I just wrote it really quickly and yeah, didn't think about it. So what Kaylee told me and what we are going to implement in the team is like, when they write something, it's always meant in a positive way by default. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm going to be like, how did he mean it? Like, I should be the one who's thinking about, okay, yeah, he meant in a positive way, of course, because that's the default. But if it's like somehow a misunderstanding, just hop on a call and make it ask. And yeah, communication is the key here. And another thing I want to share is, since the team is growing so quickly, in the past, what happened was that there were like one-on-one chats in Slack, either like with a team member and with another team member, but sometimes even with a client. And the thing is, if there's a one-on-one and, for example, the person is sick and cannot work or something, there's like missing, like you lose conversation and you lose communication. And it happened to us like a couple of weeks ago, where my business partner was sick. He couldn't attend a meeting and I jumped into it and I actually was like, what's going on right now? Like, I didn't know actually. So what we implemented is that we say, okay, public by default, meaning that all the communication should be in the Slack channels, so the whole team can read and can react and knows what's going on. And only if it's like really, really important and it shouldn't be public or something, then it could be in a one-on-one chat or something. But really public and positive by default. This is something I learned from you, Kaylee.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one that's definitely very important for me as well. And it's not only because information gets lost, but very often if you're doing a lot of talking or chatting in one-on-one conversations, you're going to have to answer the same question to multiple people. Right. So asking questions in a public channel in Slack, for example, makes that other people are able to see the question and also the answer. And even if they don't need it now, if somebody asks later, a couple of people will remember that question and that answer, and they can just help the person find it. So you're kind of scaling your knowledge as well.
Yeah, perfect. I love the sentence, scaling your knowledge. That's amazing. So last thing I want to talk about is how to give proper feedback, because when you have employees and you work with people, sometimes they're not productive, they don't deliver the results you are thinking about. So feedback will be important. So Kaylee, how do you give proper feedback actually?
I mean, this could be another whole podcast episode, right? But I think the most important part is that you actually give the feedback. So if somebody is not performing according to your expectations, make sure that you have communicated your expectations and that you're saying, okay, this is what I expect and this is what is happening, or like what I see happening. So like, help me understand what's going on now. And there's like a couple of potential outcomes, right? The person could be like, oh, I had no idea that's what you expected of me. Like, of course, like, let me do that. Or they might be struggling, they need some extra training, or anything like that. So first of all, communicating your expectations. And when you have like a tougher conversation to go into, right? Go in with a curious mind. Don't go in being like all frustrated and kind of assuming that this person just doesn't care, whatever. Go in and with the intent to like ask and understand what's going on here. How can we find a solution to this together? And then when you actually give your feedback about what you see, talk about like very specific examples. So this is what I saw, or like this is what I see happening. This is the impact of that. So this is why it's not good in my eyes. And then a question or a request, right? So like, how do you see that? Or in the future, can we do it like this instead? And that makes for constructive feedback in very short version.
Actually, I want to share a little story here because I was in this situation, I think, 1 or 2 months ago with one of our media buyers. And the thing was, the results were not great and not how I expected it. And first I was angry about the situation, about the person. But then I reflected and thought about, actually, did I clearly communicate it in the first place? What are the expectations? And I answered with no. So it wasn't actually the fault of the team member, because he actually didn't know what we expect and how he should run the campaigns. So sometimes it's not the fault of the team member, but communicating the expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think it was also that example where we talked about being clear in your feedback or your expectations, right? So I think you were planning on giving the feedback to be more proactive. But that can mean so many things, right? Like what does it mean to be more proactive? So I think I gave you like a mini workshop on like, what is it exactly that you expect? So proactive is kind of like a vague word. So when you say proactive, what does that mean? Give me some examples. And it's important when you are in a situation like that, that you do try to make your feedback as clear as possible. Clear is kind.
Yeah, this is what I did. And then the results were better. So thanks, Kelly, for that.
You're welcome.
All right. So we come to an end. And I just realized this won't be your last time at the podcast. You are always welcome. And if someone of you wants to connect with you or have more specific questions, how do people find you?
I think the easiest way would be on LinkedIn. Just look for Kelly Bogart on LinkedIn. Send me a connection request and let me know if you have any questions, want any advice. I'm happy to help.
And I give you another secret, because you're... name, your, how do you say, what is in English, the last name is quite complicated. So the secret is, still after how long do we know each other, like over 2 years now?
Yes.
So I cannot
pronounce it
right. So for all the listeners, we will definitely put the name of Kaylee into the show notes and maybe even link her LinkedIn profile, so you have it easy to find her. So, Kaylee, thank you so much to be part of this podcast. I really enjoyed it. And I hope that wasn't the last episode with the two of us. And yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I was able to add a little bit of value for everybody. And I would be happy to come back.
Wir hoffen, dass dir diese Folge wieder gefallen hat. Wenn du auch endlich konstant und profitabel 6- bis 7-stellige Umsätze mit deinem Online-Shop erreichen möchtest, dann gehe jetzt auf ecomsecrets.de und buche eine kostenlose Strategiesession. In diesem 45-minütigen Gespräch zeigen wir dir ganz genau, welche Schritte du umsetzen musst, um profitabel skalieren zu können. Es sind immer die gleichen 5 Elemente, die du meistern musst, um deinen Online-Shop erfolgreich zu machen. Du willst wissen, welche das sind? Gehe jetzt auf ecomsecrets.de und finde es heraus.